This is a different kind of message today. This isn't your standard open your Bible and here's the message thing. I'm going to talk to you about the core values of the Christian and Missionary Alliance of Kerwinsville. Who are we? What are our core values? The reason I'm doing that is because it is really essential that from time to time we review our core values, and because we just took in members, so this is a good time to do this. Now, I have loved the churches I have pastored and the people in them as well. But sometimes, I don't know, Pastor John, this probably never happened to you. Did you have people in your church sometimes that said irritating things? Yeah. And I can remember in my first church, I can remember that any time I mentioned the Christian and Missionary Alliance, and we were at 100 years old, the Alliance was at that time when I came into ministry, and any time I said the Christian and Missionary Alliance does this, the Christian and Missionary Alliance believes this, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, there were just a few people who would grumble, and they would say, stop talking about the Alliance. We didn't come here to hear about the Alliance. We came here to hear about Jesus, you know? And that was just their thing. And I respect that. I understand what they're saying. But then they would go on and they would say things like this. They would say, all the churches really believe the same thing. You don't have to tell us what's distinct about the Alliance. And we all worship the same Jesus. And we all do the same things and we all live the same way. Maybe. Maybe not. Some of you are smiling. Like, yeah, that's kind of a weird thing people say. You know as well as I know that Kerwinsville Alliance does not do church the same way as the next church. You know as well as I knew that every church seems to have a special way they do things and a special emphasis they have, a special mission that they have, and that every church is different. If every church was the same, then you would choose your church. Think, how would you pick your church? If every church was identical, you'd pick it by which one is closest to your front door. But some of you have traveled a considerable way. Mr. Beardsley, how far do you travel to come to church in the morning? About 30 minutes? Yeah. How about you, Mr. McDonald? How far? About the same, yeah. How many churches do you pass on your way here? Quite a few, right? But the reason you choose Kerwinsville Alliance is because there's something that you like about this church. And there are many things that would explain the difference between one church and the next. One of those things is, what are your core values? What do you believe as a church about how you do ministry? Not doctrinally, we're not talking about doctrine, but we're talking about what do you believe about how you should be as a church? Now, I was at my son's home last month. Laurel and I flew out, and we were out there in the west, and there was a church that I kept passing, and I said to Laurel, I have got to take a picture of that church sign. And finally, in the dark of night, I pulled in and took a picture of it. Here it is. Can you read the second line? Those of you in the back that maybe can't read it, here's what the middle line says there. Church like it used to be. Okay, now when you think about that, you know that one of that church's core values might read like this. We value traditional ways of doing things. We resist change. More power to them. You know, that's great. If that's your value, by all means, live that value. Well, what are the values of the church you're sitting in right now? What are the core values that we believe in? Now, before I talk about these, I just want to kind of talk about values in general, because I've run into a misunderstanding sometimes with people regarding this. For example, back in the early 90s, there was this guy named Ken who showed up at my church probably every 6 to 8 weeks, and he was always very vocal when he was there. He was very schooled in the Bible. He knew what the Bible said, and we were working through our mission statement and some of our values at that particular church, and I can remember what he said. He spoke up and he said, this is as bad as being at work and talking about our corporate mission and values. The church doesn't need all this talk about values. The New Testament church never talked about values. Really? Really? Huh. Well, if you think about it even for a moment, you can see that Jesus taught kingdom values all the time. All the time. Let me give you a couple examples. Jesus is doing the Beatitudes, you know? Those blessed are the blessed are the blessed are the lines that he does. He's speaking and he says something in Matthew 5:9. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's a kingdom value. We might express it something like this. We value diplomacy. We are peacemakers. You know, that's a value of the kingdom that Jesus is communicating. Another time Jesus says, let your light shine before men so they can see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We proclaim God's great greatness. We are lighthouses. That's what we are. It's kingdom values that Jesus is communicating there. You know, Jesus has this pattern he uses in a Sermon on the Mount where he says, you have heard it said, but I tell you. You remember that? You have heard it said, but I tell you. For example, in chapter 5, verse 27, he says, "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery, but I tell you, anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart." That's a kingdom value he has. It might read something like this: we value purity. We are real about that. We don't pretend. We're honest about that. Even when Jesus tells his parables, he is communicating core values. For example, when he tells the story of the prodigal son, you know that story. It's the story of this young man who says to his father, "Hey, can I have my inheritance now? Because I just want it now. What good is it when I'm old?" And he takes it all and spends it all on wine, women, and song. And then it says, when he came to his senses, he came home. And when he was coming home, his dad saw him coming down the lane, saw him from afar. And he said, "Whoa, there's my boy. Kill the fatted calf. We are going to have a feast tonight because my son who was lost has come home." That's a kingdom value. Repentant people are welcome here. You could express it this way: we welcome broken people. Jesus taught core values all the time. And all these values that he taught, they were divine values. They were things that Jesus wanted us to incorporate into our lives, into our hearts. Through that phrase, "into our hearts," I feel like values are something that you have to have in your heart. They can't just be on paper. The Kermansville Ministerial Association is a group of probably anywhere from 6 to 10 cooperative churches who work to serve our community together. I can remember it's probably 18 years ago that Pastor Don says, "What do we do with our money?" And we had a couple $1,000 there. And all the money they got was what they took in an offering, and they probably pulled in a couple They probably pulled in under $1,000 a year, you know, the ministerium did. And Pastor Don said these words: "I feel it would be really wise if we help people in a community with that money." Oh, I thought, he is right on. Everybody, all of us felt a little bit ashamed, and we did that. Do you know, I was talking to our treasurer the other day, and he said, "I think in the past 10 years, those 6 to 10 churches cooperating together in this community have given $250,000 out in fuel aid to people in the zip code 16833. You hear that? Wow. Okay, so how do we do that? And I'm thinking about that because I'm always wondering, how does this work? I was a kid that took the other kid's bicycle apart, you know, and said, "I wondered how that worked. See you later." And he had to figure out how to put it back together. And so I'm thinking to myself, how is this ministerium working so well? And I realized in the 20 years I've been here, we have adopted some core values that are really healthy ones. We are not competitive. We exercise transparency. We are fiercely loyal. Those are our values as a ministerial association. So I'm telling somebody like Pastor John this, and another pastor from another community will say, "That sounds great. Can you give me a copy of those core values?" Which seems like a really sensible request until you realize that you can't inject foreign values into a bloodstream that is not ready to receive them. You follow that? Because values tend to be a heart thing. They tend to be something you have to kind of feel along the way. Values are adopted as our hearts respond to God's transforming influence in our life. And above that, it says, just as God calls some individuals to do specific ministries, he calls some churches to do specific ministries. So I want to talk to you about the values Kermansville Alliance holds. And I kind of want to just remind you that these are probably some of the reasons you're here. Even if you've only been here for a short time, these values have influenced your decision-making process in coming here. So let's look at the values that God has placed on the heart of us at Kermansville Alliance. And the first of them is, we are bridge builders. Okay? That's Josh Thatchick's value. He says that so often. Don't ever stop saying that, Josh. Don't ever stop saying that. And by the way, values are those kinds of things that people say over and over again, and you're tempted to say, "I know that. Would you quit saying it?" Don't ever stop saying your core values. The picture that's on the screen behind me here is a picture of an ancient picture of Japan. And the reason it's here is because some international workers that we know in Japan told a story that in their city, there are bridges all over the place. So if you want to get from one part of the city to another, I mean, you can hardly go around a corner without crossing a bridge. It's worse than Pittsburgh. And they said, bridges, bridges, bridges. And it was the missionary's wife who said, "I happen to think to myself, these people would be so disconnected without these bridges. But these bridges connect them. Wow, that's my role here, to help them connect, not just with one another, but with the people of God and with the person of Christ, so they can have the forgiveness of sin that I have found. We are bridge builders. It is what we do. Now, here's how it's phrased, and I don't have it on the screen, so you have to listen. Listen to this. We are bridge builders. We extend ourselves for the needy, the brokenhearted, and those who have not heard the good news of Christ in our community and beyond. So this week, we participated in the hospice chili bowl this past week. And I ate a lot of chili, and it was really good for me, right? Now, we've done this before. We participated in that before. Why do we do it? Well, to help raise money for hospice. That is the overall purpose of it. We see hospice as a good thing in our community. Why else do we do it? To win the blue ribbon? Is that why we're there? If I don't win this ribbon, I'm going to be really mad. I'll be really disappointed. No, not really. We want to do well, but we're not there to win the ribbon. Hear this. An underlying reason that we participate in hospice's chili bowl is because we are bridge builders and we want to connect with other organizations that are doing good in our community. Do you hear that? We're bridge builders. Here's another example. 2 weeks ago, they put up the World War II Memorial right in the heart of our town. Man, that place was just crowded with people, you know. A couple weeks before they did that, I got a phone call. Reverend Shields? Yes. Hi, we're putting together the dedication service for the World War II Memorial, and I was wondering if you would be willing to pray at that dedication service. Yes, when is it? And he told me when it is. Why do I do that? Let me just say this with great clarity. I have nothing but respect for the men and women who have served our country, especially that generation. But all generations, I have respect for. But there's another reason that I did it. Do you know what it is? Because we are bridge builders. And when people who are supportive of the World War II Memorial in our community see us present there, that gives us a little bit of street cred in their mind. That's not the only reason I'm there. If that's the only reason I'm there, what is that? That's hypocrisy, right? And I've turned down opportunities to build bridges because I couldn't get behind the cause, and it would have been hypocritical for me to use their thing to our end. But buddy, when you can agree with it, build a bridge. In a few weeks, we're going to participate in Trunk or Treat. Look at those people. Those are your people right there. They are. Yeah. Oh, it kind of faded. Let me bring her back up here. Let's see. Yeah, there's the cow. That's Darlene. And I just don't know. That cow is utterly ridiculous. I'm just saying that. Okay? Yeah. Now, I remember when Christians didn't participate in Halloween, and I understood the reasons. But let me just say that. That's not bridge building. That's wall building. Got that? That's wall building. We give out treats at the Trunk or Treat with our church's name on it and some cute little thing about sweetness, or I can't remember what it is. Just something to say. Hey, here. You know why? Because we are bridge builders. Now listen to this sentence. It's long. I put it on the screen. Hear this. You cannot effectively extend yourself for the needy, the brokenhearted, and those who have not heard the good news of Christ in your own community and beyond from behind a wall. You can't do it. You got to get rid of that wall. You got to be a bridge builder. We're bridge builders. Let me give you a second value at Kerwinsville Alliance. We build men who love God, and we are downright sexist about it. That's awful to say, isn't it? But I just heard a woman say amen. How about that? Yeah. Let me just read this to you from the Resolution for Men, because they say it better than I could hope to. I'm going to just read right from the text. It's in pages 15 and 16. Kendrick and Alcorn are writing. The statistics are shocking. Prisoners, drug abusers, dropouts, runaway, rapists all share one thing in common. The overwhelming majority of them come from homes without a father. Kids are 20 more times likely to end up in prison if their dad is not involved in their lives. Young women enter life without a deep sense of value and worth. Rather than displaying feminine charm, modesty, and grace, many have become nearly, if not equally, as rude as the unrestrained, stereotypical guy. They are told to act like and outdo men as much as possible. Flirty, immodest, aggressive, they stay on a constant search for acceptance and attention, things that have not been freely given to them by the one man in their life whose love and approval they really want. So millions of teenage girls auction away their priceless virginity every year for a pizza, a movie, and some on-the-spot flattery. Each of them in the hopes that being held for a few minutes by a porn-addicted teenage boy with raging hormones will somehow fill the dark canyon of love that her disengaged father has left aching inside her heart. And it never does. The consistently missing piece of the puzzle? Fathers. Whew. If you're a dad, that's super sobering, isn't it? Really sobering. So one of the reasons that we target men at Kermansville Alliance is because of their God-given responsibility to be something other than the media presents men as being. Man, I watch TV and most stuff on television just it makes men blabbering idiots. You don't have to be that, guys. We want to build men who love God. By the way, another reason we target men is because not a lot of churches are doing it. In fact, a typical U.S. congregation, the ratio of men to women is 39% male, 61% female. And that goes across the board regardless of the age category. Listen to this. Less than one out of every 10 churches, fewer than 10% of U.S. churches are able to establish and maintain a vibrant men's ministry. Men are absent. So let's go get them. Let's go get them. We believe men who love God are men who take responsibility. And men who love God are men who grow healthy families. They are people who are effective in ministry, and men who love God build stronger communities. We believe these things. And so we target men, and we build men who love God. Here's a third value. Don't worry, there's only 90 of these. Here's a third value. We do everything together. And this value is really about relationship. We share the good and the bad in life honestly. The good and the bad in life honestly. We push one another to grow as we live out our faith. We like working together. We like that. And learning about God together and worshiping God together. Let me take just a moment and share with you some of my fondest memories of 20 years at Kermansville Alliance. I have a lot of them. Here's one of my favorites. It was a time when Jim Bell and I went into the house that was right there in our parking lot. Parking lot wasn't there, the house was. Walked in and said to Mr. and Mrs. Sopik, if you ever would like to sell this home, Kermansville Alliance would be interested in purchasing it. And Mr. Sopik said, Virginia, give me that. And he handed us the appraisal that he had paid for and said, I've had it appraised. I'd like to sell it to you. There are a lot of things I love about that memory, but do you want to know one of them? Being with Jim. If I'd gone by myself, that would be a great memory. It's a better memory because we did it together. When you do something together, it's a good thing. We do everything together. Here's another of my more recent favorite memories. It's a thing called Super VBS. I have a love-hate relationship with Super VBS. How about it? You know, I love it and I hate it all at the same time. But what I love about it is we do it together. I have a memory as well. This is a very old memory. Perry Connor, you here? You'll remember this. I have a memory of Perry Connor, Dennis Neff Sr., Bob Wise, and myself being conned by Hiram B. Westover, the director of Mahaffey Camp, to go over there and work on Dorm 2 to level the floor. Do you remember going over there, Perry? We did it together. And I don't love Dorm 2, and I sure hate leveling floors. I'm embarrassed to tell you how we did it. I'll tell you it involved shovels. But we did it together. You see, this value, we do everything together. It's a heart thing. So this Saturday at 9 o'clock, we all get together for a church cleaning day, and that's your chance to live this value. Do you see Eric's hair there? Eric says, when was that taken? Eric has a drill in his hand. It's a big drill, and he was using that drill for some overhead drilling. What he didn't know is there was a lot of drywall stuff or insulation or something, and when it came down on top of him, I said, I'm taking your picture, and it will show up someday. And there it is. It's fun to do things together. In fact, I have a saying. Here it is. Never do a ministry by yourself that you can do with a friend. We do things together. Here's number four. We pray about everything. Even when we go for a motorcycle ride, we pray. I think some of you, when you're on that motorcycle, your wife and your mom are praying like crazy, right? Yeah. We recognize that it is the Holy Spirit who actually enables us to live meaningful and productive and satisfying lives. So we ask Him to help us do that. And we pray about everything. I prayed, a woman was walking out of here, and I said, how are you doing in the first service? How are you doing? And she said, oh, and she told me about a stress in her life. I said, Sharon, let me pray for you right now. And I prayed right there in the lobby. That is not an unusual sight at Kermansville Lines. You know, it would be even a more beautiful sight if we saw other people doing it in the lobby. You know, you don't have to go to the pastor for prayer. You can go to a friend for prayer. We pray about everything. We are having trouble at work, we pray. You're having surgery coming up, we pray. You're struggling with an addiction, we pray. You're worried that your family isn't following Jesus the way they should be, we pray. You're losing a loved one, we pray. You lost a loved one, we pray. You're expecting a child, we pray. You're wanting to adopt, we pray. We pray about everything. We pray. We don't have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. But someone has said to me, you know, with the small groups and the prayer line and the other stuff going on, I wonder if we're actually praying more now than we were then. I don't know. But we pray about everything. Number five, we pursue excellence in whatever we do. The parking lot repair is kind of a good example of this. When they started digging to put in the parking lot, they ran into some problems, and that's one of the reasons we're delayed. They found some problems. Most clearly, they found there was no stone under the pavement that they removed. And what had happened, evidently, you know, the resources were limited, so the men and women who were making the decisions said, let's just scrape that down to the dirt and pave over the dirt. And when you do that, for 20 years, at least since I've been here, we've had trouble with that parking lot. And so Dave Clark, he's talking to the paver, and the paver said, we're going to have to, thousands of dollars worth of stone, we're going to have to put in here. And so Dave sent out a text to the trustees to say, guys, we got a predicament. It's going to be several thousand dollars extra, and we need to have stone under there. What do you think? Now, here's what you don't know, other trustees. Dave, I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to rat you out. Dave sent that text, and before he got a reply, he said, put the stone in. Now, those trustees are not offended. I feel confident they're not. Here's why. Because they share this value. Do you understand? That's an interesting thing about values. When you all have the same value, you don't have to micromanage anything. You can just trust. I know they're going to do the parking lot well. You know why? Because of the value that says we pursue excellence in whatever we do. But you understand it's not just about parking lots. We understand that all we have comes from God, and we strive to use it to glorify Him. And that applies to serving in a nursery. Matt McCracken is back there in the nursery. He has poison ivy or something on him back there. Don't worry, he won't give it to your children. But he's back there. Do you know why? Because he wants to provide an excellent nursery for parents, children, so the parents can worship God. We strive for excellence. We pursue excellence in whatever we do. It applies to sanctuary renovation. It applies to leading children's church. You'd never know it by the way he preaches, but our pastor believes this in his sermon preparation. You were supposed to laugh. It applies to funeral dinners. That's why we have cheese at funeral dinners, because cheese is excellent. It applies to music ministry. It applies to everything. Nobody wants a half-baked job. We pursue excellence in everything we do. Here's number six. We believe the Bible has real answers to life's problems. And so we follow the practical wisdom of God's Word and offer it to others who are seeking. The most important wisdom from God's Word is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And from Genesis through Revelation, you see the redemptive message of the cross being unfolded. And we hand that to people because we believe that Jesus is the answer to our world's problems. And we learn of Him through the Word of God. It is hard to learn of Him apart from the Word of God. But through the Word of God, wow, we learn of Him and His redemptive power and the ability He has to change lives. You know the movie, The Passion of the Christ? I don't know if you've seen that or not. It is an adult movie in a sense of violence. Jesus, His passion, His suffering on our behalf. There is a beautiful moment in that movie where the producer has Jesus carrying this cross and he falls under the weight of the cross. And Mary is nearby and her memory goes back to when as a little boy he would stumble and fall and how she cared for him. And you know what a mom does when your child falls? You want to help him. And she comes to Jesus, and he's beneath the weight of the cross, and he's bloodied, beaten, almost beyond recognition. Listen to the line that the scriptwriter puts in Jesus' mouth. See, Mother, I make all things new. I love that. That scriptwriter never would have known to write that, except for the Bible. And the Bible tells us of God's redemptive plan and His answers for our lives. And when your life needs to be made new, it is the Bible that shows you who can do that and how they can do that. And so, yeah, we believe the Bible has real answers to life's problems. One more. We are forward-thinking Christ followers. Do you hear that? Forward-thinking Christ followers. We respect the past. You understand that? I respect Dr. Simpson. I respect Dr. Tozer. I respect Hiram B. Westover. We respect the past. But hear this. The past was not made respectable by looking backward. Those men and women that we admire from the past, that we have inherited a great deal from, the reason they are respectable is because they were forward-thinking Christ followers. If you study the history, for example, of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, you know that Dr. Simpson was a forward-thinking Christ follower. He got in trouble for a lot of the things he did. You know, some of those old hymns that you may think, wow, this is just so outdated, that was pop music in his day. Worse, it was dance music. And I'll tell you what, you get Matilda swinging her hips to a wall, so you got a real lust problem happening there. You understand? And Simpson was taking that kind of thing and saying things to it like, Jesus only is our message. Jesus all our theme shall be. We will lift up Jesus only. Jesus ever will we see. Savior, sanctifier, healer, glorious Lord and coming King. He took those unchanging biblical concepts and he thought forward about how to communicate that to people. And Simpson wasn't the first to do stuff like that. We want to do stuff like that. There's a passage in the book of 1 Chronicles where it's listing some of the men who have attached themselves to David. Some of these men who are David's warriors. And it lists them and it tells something about them. For example, it says, from Judah. There were men there from Judah, and they were carrying a sword and a shield, so you get that in your mind. The guys with the swords and shields, they're from Judah. And then it says, men from Simeon, and they were warriors ready for battle. And then it says, and men from Ephraim, famous in their own clan. Like, these guys are legends in their own time, he's saying. And then in verse 32, he speaks of some men from a place called Issachar. That's just about as weird of a name as Kerwinsville, isn't it? And he says this. He says, men from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do, those were forward-thinking God followers. You hear that? That's who we want to be. That's who we are. We are willing to leave behind the familiar and comfortable to accomplish God's plans for us. We support one another in following God's calling for our families and our children. We're forward-thinking Christ followers. Now, these slides are an expression of who Kerwinsville Alliance has become over the past several years. And these values were not imported from another church and applied to us. These values came as leaders, young and old, got together at Kerwinsville Alliance and verbalized who they saw God making us. And chances are, if you're kind of new here, these values are some of the things that brought you here. You're like, I don't know what it is about that church, but I kind of like it. I mean, the message is the same. But I really kind of like what's going on there. So these values are intensely important. But you just got to hear this sentence. Ready? These values only have value because Christ is among us. Got it? There are other churches that have values like this. There are churches that probably have better values than ours, although that's hard for me to ever admit. But there probably are. But if Jesus isn't there, then what good is it? Over the past couple of weeks, the elders have met with people. Those people who were standing up here and five more yet to come. We've met with them together because that's part of the process. And we sat down with them and we put the chairs in a circle. And we just said, tell us your story. And you know, if you're being taken into membership and there's the elders, I mean, what's more intimidating than Josh Thatchick's eyebrows? And so, you know, I say, We just kind of like to share in our... Sometimes, John, you go with the humor and you take it a little too far and then you lose your crowd, right, buddy? Yeah. So it's kind of intimidating for those people who are sitting there, and so I'll say, we want to share our stories, we'd like to hear yours. Who wants to go first? And Jeff Spade generally breaks the ice and he'll tell his story. And then maybe Josh will tell his, and then maybe Dave and Jim and me. And little by little, each of them tells their story. And hear this. Here's what the thing that you hear again and again is. God is making a difference in my life. And that is because of Christ's death on the cross on my behalf. And I'm experiencing it here at Kerwinsville Alliance. And I try to say this, though. I don't always say it as eloquently as I would like. But I try to say, do not allow Kerwinsville Alliance to be your first love. Allow Jesus to be your first love. Because churches change. They do. And I was explaining that at one of the meetings, and Jeff Spade, one of the elders, looks over at them and says, yeah, it's okay to leave a church if you want to. So what are you doing, Jeff? I know exactly what he's doing. He's saying, you don't worship the church, you worship the Lord. You worship the Lord. Because it's not the values that the church runs on. It's not the elders that make the church run. It's not the pastor or the music. It is not even you. People say to me, well, you know, the church is the people. It is not you. It is Him. He is the one. And when God is the foundation, when He is the source, then life change can happen. So I want that to happen at Kerwinsville Alliance. I want you to remember these values and to own them and to live them out as a group of people and as individuals as well.